this is a very interesting weekend. We're going to be celebrating, you know, the world. 100 million people are going to be watching the Super Bowl. Who's going to win, right? What is it, like 1.38 billion wings are going to be consumed in the next few hours? I mean, it's crazy. And it's all about what people consider the ultimate victory, this idea of what it really means to become a champion. And I think, although we know it's just about sports, we look at these people who earn some, I mean, it's amazing achievement, but we look at it in such a way that it's kind of this idea like you're a champion in life, that you have the ultimate victory. I think it's really interesting that on the day we're doing that, we are also in the middle of mourning one of the greatest champions who sports has ever known in Kobe Bryant and the lives that were attached to that tragic accident. I mean, kind of an interesting moment that we're all kind of in this place where who's going to be champion, but we've also seen someone who's been known as the greatest champion of all, and we're just watching as his family and loved ones and friends just grieve, and there's almost this sense of, boy, if you have victory on this level in front of the whole world, doesn't that mean you can overcome anything? And there's this sense of trying to grapple with the loss of his life and, of course, the life of Alyssa and Peyton, the other two girls, along with Gigi, Gianna, Brian, the parents, the pilot, and the friend that were with them as well. And it's just an interesting moment because it kind of changes the way you think about, oh, when you get to this championship, it's all, you know, once you get this victory in life, then it's all over. And we've seen someone get to that victory and yet still have to deal with the same pain and still have the same vulnerabilities as the rest of us. I just think it's a really interesting time to think about what is the most important victory of life and what do we have faith in when we face the greatest battles. And so, obviously, it's Super Bowl Sunday. One of the players on the San Francisco 49ers, Jordan Matthews, a Christian, and he had an interview where he shared about faith in football. And I just thought on the Super Bowl, it'd be interesting to hear his thoughts. So here he is talking about faith.
It's always been a part of football. And I think the reason why is because football is the one sport of the major three, that's the most like real life. Basketball and baseball have guaranteed contracts. There's no guaranteed contracts in football, okay? And in real life, nothing's guaranteed. In football, every single play could be your last. On the daily basis, people know like, you know, if they make one mistake, they could lose that job opportunity or they could not get in that college they want to. So there's a lot more guys that I think that come into a football building every single day that are relying on something. Football, you have one bad season, you might be cut the next day. You might be gone. You get injured, you might be done playing football, period. I remember my dad used to always have this saying, you know, there's no atheist in a foxhole. And the reason why is because when bullets are flying, you know, whether you know what you're attributing your faith to or not, most of the time you're talking to somebody. That faith is being stirred up in you. And so with that real outlook in football, I think it causes more guys to ask questions. It causes more guys to say, hey, I might need to lean on something that's not finite, that's not external. And I think that's where you have the opportunity to pull a guy aside and say, hey, you know, there's a love and there's a relationship that's performance free. I know you've been on this performance wheel your whole life where, you know, you have to work in order to stay on team. You have to work in order to get the coach to like you. You have to work in order to stay healthy. But I know a guy who doesn't care if you're healthy, if you're sick, if you sin 10 times today, nothing can separate you from his love. And so to be able to give somebody that type of security, guys want that. Guys need that, and they're thirsting for that.
Yeah, really interesting, right? He'll be in the Super Bowl today with that perspective. And I thought it was really interesting when he said this line, in real life, nothing is guaranteed. In real life, nothing's guaranteed. And we tend to think of those guys especially and the victories we see that the whole world celebrates. 100 million people going to watch to see who wins tonight. And yet, he's saying, and we've seen, nothing's guaranteed. That there can be a defeat, a battle in your life at any time. And we live in this world, and I think we... we kind of hope that as we see others' victory, that we've got this hope that we will overcome. The idea of the unseen battles of life, the ones that nobody else knows we're going through, but we know we're going through them. And I think we're tempted to say that in real life, nothing is guaranteed. People, well, that's just life. That's just going through this world. It's like, no, there's a little bit more to it than that. There's a reason why battles can come at any time. And it's because, in the end, there's an unseen enemy that's always trying to attack. Now, we've been in this series of Spiritual 2020 and learning to see what is more than just what's seen on the outside. And in that, we've talked about that we are a spirit who has a soul that directs this body in this world, and we've talked all about how that works. And yet, we've also talked that there are some unseen things that are fighting against life in us. There's our own sinful nature, right? That's not anybody else. That's just us. We'll just choose selfish things. There's the world's lies that keep encouraging us to place our priorities and our focus on the wrong things. But then there is the enemy, Satan, who is called the very enemy and accuser of our souls. And the whole idea is that he is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And I thought this morning we should look at a passage that is about when Jesus saw what nobody else saw the real reason for the defeat and saw the real key of victory in their life. And I think it should remind us that we've got to pay attention to the unseen battles in our life. Because you and I, as we've talked about, we'll look at the scripture again, we usually make our battles against people. And we usually fight against people. And sadly enough, sometimes we fight against the people who love us the most. And we need to see where the real fight and the real victory needs to be. And so I want to encourage you, it's right in your handout this morning, Luke 13, 10 through 17. And I want us to look at a place where someone for 18 years lived in defeat. And I want you to think about the thing you've been going for the last 3 months, the last 18 months, the last 8 years, let alone the last 18, and how it feels so much like this is never going to change. And yet I want you to hear this story and let God speak to us some things about where real victory can come for every one of us. And it's not just a cliche because it's Super Bowl Sunday, but we really want us, let's stop watching other people have victory. And let's kind of get in the game in the places we need to have victory. Those places we've kind of given up on. So let's look at it. Let's, of course, honor the Word of God as we read it. Let's reverence it in our hearts and our minds, giving all that we are to it. Luke 13, 10 through 17. On the day of worship, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. He saw a woman who had been crippled and bound by an evil spirit. He saw it. Nobody else did. Not that way. She had been bent over for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are set free from your sickness." Then Jesus touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. Instantly, how she praised God. But the religious leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. He's looking at all the wrong things right now. "There are 6 days of the week for working," he said to the crowd. "Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath." But the Lord replied, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath. Don't you untie your donkey, or ox or your donkey from its stalls on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham," the picture of faith, "has been bound and defeated by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even right now on the Sabbath?" Let's pray. Oh Lord, only you see all of the battles. Only you understand how we can be free. We know, Lord, we must humble ourselves and repent in our own sinful choices. Forgive us. We know that this world pushes us in the wrong way. Lord, make us stronger. But we also know that we have an enemy that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And we ask today that nothing that he wants to do would succeed. But through Jesus, every person here and every person online would have a victory that even in 18 years in the making would come on this very day. And we ask it now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. It's easy to look at the outside and try to just fix the outside. It's easy to look at the outside and just think the problems are from the practical standpoint. But Jesus sees a woman, and everybody else sees that she's struggling. But Jesus sees it deeper than anybody else sees. He knows that there's a defeat in a life that's caused not just by, well, you should have done this, and if you were like this, and if you would have done that. He knows there's something deeper, because, yeah, we make our own choices, and we can in our pride or our lust or our greed or our guilt or whatever. I mean, we make our own choices, but there's also an enemy behind that that's feeding and working to keep us bound and not free, not be able to stand up and see what God can do and love the people around us the way we should. There's an enemy that we have to be careful of. We've said it every week. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We've said, when we think we're alone, we're not alone. There's always someone whispering in our ear, trying to speak into us, trying to isolate us and manipulate us to keep us in defeat. And yet Jesus said that he is the light of the world, and whoever follows him would never walk in darkness, but would have the light of life. How many times in that marriage, how many times in that relationship, how many times in that family do we start fighting against each other and we miss the one person we both should be fighting against? That there's an enemy. How often we think what we see is all we need to fix, when it's a lot about this heart, and here's going to be a big word today, this heart needing to humble itself. No one can see this heart, but man, it's directing us in such big ways. No one can see this heart, but we need to kind of get the pride and the blind spots out of our own life and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me look at me first. And as I'm looking at me, help me recognize what the enemy's trying to do. It's got to start there. Because we live in this world that's only what is seen is important, and people are going to want to see who wins the game tonight. And yet what we really know is it's all the unseen that's going to determine whether there's victory or defeat tonight. We all know, as again, kind of stunned hearing the news about Kobe on Sunday afternoon and hearing about this fog. It was the unseen that was the most dangerous thing of all. And we don't know what the pilot didn't see with this helicopter and what wasn't seen but was what was going to cause the pain and the tragedy. And you and I have to recognize that Jesus came to help us see where the real tragedies lie. Help us to see what can really cause destruction in us. You know, we live in a world where we want to paint over things, and because we feel guilty or because we know we've made a mistake, we tend to not even want to look at it. So we develop this encouragement to only look at is what is visible. Let's just make it look okay. And we're afraid to look at what's really there, not because we don't want to own it in certain ways, but we don't feel like it can change. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to bring some light in your life. And I'm gonna show you who's at work. And I'm, as we've been doing in the sermon series, I might even show you how you're cooperating and being a part. But then I don't want there to be condemnation. What I want you to do is turn to me. Because I see it and I know how to set you free from it. That's what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Because this enemy in our lives, he's not just unseen, but he's trying to work defeat in us in unseen ways. And when we've talked about the spirit and the soul and the body, we've really talked especially about the soul, the idea of what I think, what I feel, how I decide, what I want in life, the emotions, the mind, and the will. And we've missed how the enemy tries to manipulate our emotions and manipulate our thinking, and that we actually contribute to the binding and the defeat of our family, of our relationships, of our health, and of our future. And Jesus saw this. He said, look, everybody just sees the outside, but I see what's deeper here. I can set you free from this. I have the ability to do it. I can give you a victory that's 18 years in the making, and it can be today. Now, a lot of times when we come to the issue of spiritual warfare, then it's kind of an all or nothing. We don't take any responsibility. Now it's just all demons or it's all the enemy. And it's like, no, I've got this soul that chooses to let him in or not. And I've got to be careful about the way he begins to cause me to think and really bind me up. I'm going to encourage you this week, and it's on the back of your notes, that on your Bible app, there's a 5-day devotional called The Enemies of the Heart. And it's just a really practical teaching on emotions from Andy Stanley. And in this, he teaches on 4 enemies of your heart. I'm kind of changing the words according to the passage of Scripture that keep us bound, that keep us from experiencing life, that don't let our life, our leadership, our future grow any higher because we're anchored to this chain, this lie in our life. And he talks about 4 emotions that we've got to be careful of in life. And he uses the term owe. We get this driven sense of debt that we owe something in some way. And here they are. He says, first of all, there's the issue of guilt. It's, I know I owe you. You know, I've messed up. And so I live in guilt. And guilt never lets me live out a relationship the right way. Because what I do is when I feel guilty, I hide who I am from those who are closest to me because I'm ashamed. And what I don't realize is that means I never fully trust somebody with who I am. And it also means I end up living out mistrust with them. It's a chain. My relationship can never get any better because I haven't resolved the guilt in my life. And I live in this place of mistrust and of fear. And I'm going to try really hard, kind of like Jordan Matthews was saying, I'm going to work really hard for a good relationship. But what I don't realize is I am substituting trust. I'm putting work in its place. And a relationship that doesn't have a form of trust in it can only go so high. And so I'm gonna pray for better relationships. I'm going to pray not to live out the relationships of the past. And yet, what I don't see is that in me, the guilt in my life is got a lid on my relationships. I'm never going to get higher than it because I owe you. I'm always going to try to pay that back. Then there's the sense of anger, and that's you owe me. And the interesting thing with anger, it's this idea, I've been hurt in life. I've been hurt in relationships. People owe me. People have done me wrong. And the tragedy of this chain is that whoever is closest to me is the one who pays for it. Whoever is next in my life is where my anger goes. And they weren't even part of my pain, but now I'm asking them to pay for it. And when I live with this chain, when I'm bound by anger in my heart, I've got a limit to how close anybody can get to me. And what's going to happen is I end up blaming them. I always blame someone else for the same pattern I'm in. Because you owe me. You owe me. You may not even been the one who did it, but you're next in my life, so it's you now. And we've got to recognize it. We don't even see it. We don't even see it in our lives. We could tell you 1,000 other ways. It's why the reason why we're not talking anymore, that's because of them. But it's the anger in us, unresolved. It's a chain. We can't get up and see everything the right way. Then there's the issue of, if I could get to the next one, please. The next one is greed. And it's the idea of, I owe me. Like, I don't have enough. Jesus warned about this one. So be careful about this one. When you've always got to have more, and you come up with a million good reasons for it. I just want to make sure we've got, I want to make sure my family has, and yeah, it all sounds good. But when greed, with this idea that I need more to have a good life, and our life won't be good if I don't make sure I have this much, when that comes into life, there's a chain on your relationships because you end up starving the people of love that are closest to you. You have a big time understand, you have a really hard time understanding them. You can't understand because you're not focused on that. You're so captured by a chain, you don't even realize it in your life, but you're so fixed on more that you're giving everybody around you less. Less than what it takes to have a good relationship. We've got to be really careful with this one. And then there's this last one. It's jealousy. And jealousy is, God, you owe me. Because, God, you didn't make my life like theirs. God, you didn't give me what you gave them. God, I can't do what they can do. And there's this whole idea that God owes me. And the worst thing about that, and the tragic thing about jealousy, is it, without even realizing it, every relationship that's closest to me, I've got to make them feel smaller than me. I can't let them win. They can't have a bigger win than me in my life. Because if they do, this chain just tightens up all over me. And so I'm not a very life-giving person. And my relationships tend to only go so far. And the only people who stick around or ones who say, I guess I'll just kind of be a victim of that the rest of my life. They're changed. I mean, are most people willingly do this? No. But it's this sense of being bound by what they can't see. Do people make their own choices in this? Yes. But is there someone behind it talking in your ear, telling you you're right and feeling all this? There absolutely is. And you and I, we need to recognize that while everything bad in the world isn't just because Satan did it, it's really, I mean, we're the ones building this world. We're the ones making it what it is. But it all starts with an unseen enemy. It starts with an unseen enemy who wants to break relationships. It's the start. I'm not saying it's all the story of what we need to do for mental health, but man, pay attention to this, because there's no such thing as mental health with spiritual ignorance. I mean, you've got to recognize what's going on in the spiritual if you want true mental health in your life. The tragedy in our lives, the question is why? Why did this happen to, Kobe's family? Why? And it's like, boy, all of a sudden it's like, well, I know there's no guarantees, but why wasn't there a guarantee about him? It's like, why did this happen? And it's just, we've got to focus on the who. We've got to focus on who has a chance to heal our communities, because it starts with an enemy. And there are things we're going to do in the practice, the things we got to take ownership of. That was me. That wasn't the enemy. I chose that. I lived in these chains. I've decided these chains are what's going to kind of make me work and how I'm going to respond to the pain in my life. But we got to recognize there's an enemy. But here's the beautiful victory, okay? I love this. In real life, you have an unseen enemy who tries to defeat you in unseen ways, but could not and cannot see how Jesus gives you victory over him. Satan is the ultimate expression of pride, and pride blinds. And the scripture in Colossians tells us that if Satan ever understood what it meant to crucify Jesus, he would never done it. But he didn't understand. See, pride can't understand humility. See, we live in this world that says this is the moment of victory. This is the moment right here. Lift it up. Everybody see what I got. Everybody see what I did. Me, look at it. That's what the world says. But here's what the gospel says. Here's your moment of victory. Here's your moment of victory. Here's the moment when people jeered you and spit on you and rejected you. Here's the moment of victory. Our victory. When Christ gave himself for us. And it's not just a one-time event where the enemy was blinded. But even now, do you realize as I share this, and all the spiritual realms and the war that's going on in and around you right now, that the enemy cannot register or understand that the humility of Christ brings a victory that he can never defeat. The world doesn't understand it, right? Don't let them do that to you again. And there's all these pictures of what strength looks like. How ironic that when we most often think we're standing up, when we're doing it out of guilt, anger, greed, or jealousy, we're really bent down and bound up. We're not standing up at all. But when we take the time to live like Jesus lived, and we humble ourselves and kneel down, when we humble ourselves and recognize that we've been in chains, that's the moment we're standing the tallest. That's what God wants. And we live in this world that thinks victory is this. And it's awesome to honor the achievement and the hard work. There's nothing wrong with that. But there are no guarantees in any of this. That's not guaranteed. This is guaranteed. This is guaranteed. The fact that on the cross, Jesus freed us from the power of the spiritual rulers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them by having victory by the cross. That's victory for you and I today. And on the cross, everything that binds us in guilt, Jesus says, hey, I've taken that consequence and I forgive you. Do you want to defeat guilt in your life? Confess your sin. Confess your sin to him. And find out that he's taken it on the cross. He took your future. That cross is your future. He took it for you. The issue of anger. You know, the beautiful thing about anger. I had a mom the other day say to me, Sean, I feel so bad what I said to my kid, you know, young kid. And I just don't know. I mean, however, I said, hey, don't you ever forget that what Jesus says over your kid and what Jesus has done for your kid is more powerful than what you said to your kid or what you did to your kid. Now, forgive. God's going to give you ability to restore, to ramp. But hey, let's not forget that he will restore us. What anybody did to us is not as great as what Jesus has done for us. That's why guilt, I confess my sin. In anger, I forgive. I recognize the forgiveness of God in my life, and I forgive somebody else. You want to be free from anger? You've got to learn to forgive. There's no other way. There's no victory over anger except forgiveness. You test that out all your life, you're going to find out it's true. There's no victory over anger except forgiveness. Feels exact opposite. It's the truth. Greed. Hey, greed is about I need more to make life good, to make myself safe, to save me. I need. And it's like, no, look at the cross. Jesus became powerless for us that we would have the power of God in our lives. God's going to bless us. I'm going to give you everything to be rich in this life. Don't you spend your time chasing after what the world chases after. Chase after me. I had a friend, I think it was actually Stanley told me, he had a friend, he talked to Kobe at a tournament, basketball tournament, and they told Kobe, yeah, you know, want the win, going to get the win. Here's what Kobe's advice was to him. He said, don't focus on you winning. Focus on your team winning every possession. Like every day, help the people around you have the victory they need in your life. Don't focus on the big goal. Just every day, love the people around you well. Help them win. Help them win with God. Jealousy. You know, what a tragedy that we live our life comparing ourselves to others. When Jesus has set us free to let his glory shine through our life, that's going to change the eternity of people's lives. We're so busy wanting to be somebody else, and God died so we'd be who he made us to be. Man, that's your call today. You don't have to live in these. In greed, the way I defeat greed is I serve and I give. I stop about gathering. And I start about giving. That's why we celebrate that incredible Christmas legacy offering. Jealousy, what I do is I start to be thankful and I become an encourager. And I tell you what, you have the hard conversation with yourself like, hey, Sean, someone does do that better than you. Celebrate it. Enjoy it. And praise the Lord, you get to be part of it. Now, I was with Travis at Motivation Church on Wednesday night. They're celebrating. Travis said, Motivation Church, such a great church. I got to be there. We're in the middle of this worship service, and the Lord told me, Sean, I had a prayer moment. I was supposed to get up and pray over the whole church. The Lord said, Sean, I want you to wash his feet. Wash his feet, because the next level for motivation, it's time to just cleanse what they've all walked through, in terms of the church plant, so weary, so tired. Just be ready. So I just want to encourage you today, man. Victory is when we humble ourselves, when we bend down, when we wash feet. And I love Philippians 2, 5 through 9. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who took on the very nature of a servant, humbled himself, and became obedient to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Look, your most important victories are in having peace with God, yourself. They're loving the people around you better than you've ever loved them. That's victory in life. One person's definition of success. Success is when the people who know me the best love and appreciate me the most. That's success. Lord, I've got all these relationships. I want to do the exact opposite to deal with them. And yet I've got to decide to humble myself and be a victorious servant instead of a defeated victim. And I'm just going to take the victory of Jesus and I'm going to act like a victorious servant. God, lead me. Help me to think like a victorious servant, not some defeated victim. And that's not to belittle the painful experiences we've gone through. But your future is about what Jesus has done for you. It's not what people did to you in the past. It's about what Jesus has done for you moving forward. So I just want to encourage you, for every battle that is not seen and not over in your life. Why do we worship on Sunday morning? Why do people like get into it? I'm bowing on the front row and people are jumping up and down. Well, because every moment's an important moment to have a victory saying Jesus is King. Like right now, I get in the middle of worship and I get a little intense. Why? Because there's a battle going on. And Jesus is my King, and he's got victory for me. And I want to humble myself. I want to give myself to that. We all do it a little different. But worship's an important moment of saying, God, I recognize I'm always in a battle. I recognize you're always victorious. I say yes to that again today. I just want to encourage you right now. If you look, there's a connection card. You took it. You should have taken it. And we're asking you to fill this out this morning. Victory starts with next steps. And I want to encourage you this morning, whether it's been 18 years of something being the same in your life, that saying yes to Jesus in spirit, soul, and body this morning, that there's a new victory for you. So I'm just asking you this morning, everybody online as well, as the Spirit of God is with you, maybe your next step is just a straightforward, I just need to say yes to Jesus this morning. My parents have, my family has, have you. Is this your victory, or are you watching somebody else have victory? I want to encourage you, if you do, if you're a guest this morning, and if you want to know about what it means to accept Jesus as Lord, for all our guests and anybody who makes the decision in the Connection Center this morning, our guest center, is a really cool bio of some NFL players and some of their stories as Christians. It's also got how to know Christ more and some devotionals in it as a new believer. I want to encourage you to grab one. Just go to the guest center after service. But we're going to make that decision right here in a moment. The five-day devotional, you just grab your phone, get the Bible app on there, just look on Enemies of the Heart, and maybe the next 5 days, if that registered with you, just do that. You could also YouTube Andy Stanley, Enemies of the Heart. He's got a great sermon series on it. Really, really good. Particularly, just so you know, for leaders, he does it all as leaders too, in your lid of leadership, if those four emotions aren't healthy in your life. You can only go so far as a leader. The next, man, we'd love for you to come back next Sunday. This Wednesday night, we've got First Wednesday prayer and worship. I'm going to share a sermon on how can you tell the difference between your sinful nature, the lies of the world, and Satan's resistance. Like, how do you know the difference? I'm going to give like a 10-minute on that. I'll give you three questions that you'll figure it all out with just those three questions. You'll be part of that. Keep growing. We know about that. If you're at this church, we want you to make Jesus the center of it. We don't want you to have a church-centered experience at Cornerstone. We want you to have a Jesus-centered one. You learn how to do that there. And small groups, just finding some people. You can go online. We've had a great beginning there. We want you to be a part of it. I just share all those for one reason, because this service is this service. You got to go live life. And I want you to live in the victory of Christ. That's what Jesus died for you to do. So would you just take a moment and fill that out right now? There's a place for prayer requests. You'll notice you can make it private, or it could be in the prayer sheets. That's up to you. And there's some information on the back, a place for my next step. If you write it down there or indicate it, we will follow up with you. And whether you're just curious or whether you're committed, you can just sign it up and we'll just connect you so you understand what your next steps could be. I was at the Y on Friday, and we actually stopped and had a little moment of silence for Kobe and his family, all the guys at the basketball court, Chester Y. And one of the guys, hopefully Ron's watching this morning, we were talking about understanding the preciousness of every day and understanding where real victory is at and the battles we face. And I just want to encourage each one of you this morning that the words that we read this morning aren't for somebody else for some other time. Jesus' final word was, why not today? Why not today? Why can't it be today? So I just want to encourage you to step out in faith. Take that next step this morning. Well, let's just stand with your decisions in hand. Let's just stand and finish in prayer this morning. God's so good. All right. Stretch. Now everybody needs to go run because you're about to eat way poorly for the next few hours. Show of hands, who's not even going to make it to halftime? You're going to be in bed by halftime. Okay, let's just be honest. You're not even watching the whole thing. Okay. It's good. I hope obviously not everybody here is going to watch it, but for those of you who do, I hope as you're watching and hearing about battle and win and overcoming every goal, every point, I just hope some way the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, man, why not today for me? So I'm just going to ask you, would you bow your heads? If you're here this morning, you want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. Man, this is the day. Why not today? I just want to encourage you right now, without even any hesitation, if you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, and you want to welcome his victory into your life, that you'd never be bound by the enemy again, I'm just going to ask him right now, would you raise a hand and say, yes, I want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life here today. Praise the Lord. Yeah, anyone else? Praise God. Greatest victory of all. Anybody else? Lord, we just thank you so much that today is the day of victory, of salvation for both this person. Lord, we renew, Lord, our joy and our faith in that salvation this morning. Lord, we ask that you would lead this person as well as each of us into trusting you. And Lord, we're just asking right now, and I'm going to ask right now, if there's a relationship or a place where you know you need victory from the Lord, and today the Lord just spoke into your heart about making sure you're focusing on the enemy and the unseen battles to make sure that you bring them to Jesus. If you've got a place that you're just saying, Lord, let your victory reign in this place right now, I'm just going to ask you to lift a hand as just an offering to the Lord. Say, Lord, those victories right now, Lord, those battles I offer to you. You are undefeated, the champion of all. You're Christ. You're the King of heaven. There's no power or authority greater than you. And we ask your Holy Spirit to come and fill us, Lord, that we would live as empowered, victorious servants. And dear Lord, as you grieve with us, as you've taken our pain, as you understand, let us now live. Lord, we confess our sin to you afresh and anew for victory, dear Lord, to have victory over guilt. Lord, we ask your forgiveness, and Lord, show us how to forgive others. We'd have victory over anger this morning. Lord, would you show us how to serve and give thanks and have victory over greed? Would you show us how to be thankful and encourage others to have victory over jealousy this morning? And my prayer is that each person here, Lord, would hear your voice a little more clearly. Know your love. Lord, let it be in their hearts. Speak to them this day as they continue on. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Hey, enjoy this day. Go celebrate. Have a great time. Be a blessing to others. Have victory in the Lord.